Welcome back to this week's edition of the Midweek Reality Check with Michael Pinto, where I try to keep Wall Street and your money real.
Quick disclosure, this podcast is for informational purposes only. Nothing I say constitutes direct investment advice or recommendation to buy or sell any securities. It represents my personal views at the time of the recording, and markets may perform differently than I expect. All investment involves risk, including loss of principal. With that said, let's get into it. The United States has now crossed a line that no developed economy in world history has ever crossed and survived intact. In just the past decade, our national debt has doubled. Not grown modestly, not increased in line with GDP, doubled. And that is merely the headline number for the national federal debt. When you add in private debt, corporate, household, municipal debt, the United States now sits atop over $100 trillion in total outstanding obligations. That alone should terrify any rational investor. But the real horror show begins when you include the promises Washington has made but has no ability to fund in the future. Social Security, Medicare, federal pensions, other entitlements. Those unfunded liabilities add another about $80 trillion to the dung heap. We are therefore staring at a debt structure of nearly $180 trillion in an economy with GDP of $32 trillion. That's not a debt problem. This is debt becoming a supernova problem. And it's going to collide, or actually in the process of colliding, with the most dangerous macroeconomic force imaginable under these conditions. That's rising interest rates. For decades, politicians and central bankers assured us that debt didn't matter because rates would remain permanently low. They built an entire economic model on that fantasy. Inflation is going to be dead. Productivity was going to be eternal. And the bond market would always tolerate unlimited deficits. That delusion has been shattered. When you have over $100 trillion in outstanding total debt, a mere 1% increase in interest rates means an additional $1 trillion in annual interest expense. That's not some kind of rounding error. It's not a budgetary nuisance. It's a black hole for economic growth. This is what insolvency looks like. And when insolvency meets inflation, interest rates don't drift higher. They can explode higher. The most dangerous misconception on Wall Street today is that the United States can continue to run multi-trillion dollar deficits without consequence because the rest of the world is worse. That argument is collapsed. For years, Japan and Germany served as the global anchors for sovereign yields. The Bank of Japan kept JGBs pinned near zero for decades. The EC bid the same with bonds, German bonds. These artificially suppressed yields acted as a gravitational force, keeping U.S. Treasury rates from rising too far too fast. But those anchors have now been ripped from the seabed. Japanese government bonds are at a 30-year high yield. German bonds are at a 15-year high. The two most important stabilizers in the global bond market have lost control. And when the anchor breaks, the ship doesn't just drift, it can capsize. This is the environment in which Kevin Warsh has stepped into as the new chair of the Federal Reserve. And to his great credit, he has begun his tenure with a seriousness that has been absent from the Eccles building for decades. In his first week, the Fed's balance sheet actually shrank by $15 billion. I mean, that's my hat's off to him, as I predicted that he was going to do this. That is a very meaningful first step, reversing the grotesque monetary excesses of the past 15 years. If, and this is a monumental if, Warsh maintains this pace of draining the balance sheet, it will be excellent news for the long-term health of the U.S. economy. A central bank that finally stops monetizing federal deficits is the only path back to stable money, honest interest rates, and a functional bond market. But let us be clear, this will not be in the slightest bit painless. A shrinking Fed's balance sheet means shrinking liquidity, And less gambling money for Wall Street banks leads to falling asset prices. And falling asset prices mean Wall Street will soon be screaming for the Fed to reverse course. And make no mistake, once Wall Street begins to howl, the political pressure on the Fed will become unbearable. You think Powell was treated harshly by the Prez? Just wait. This is the cycle we have seen for decades, a brief flirtation with monetary discipline followed by a rapid retreat the moment asset prices wobble. The tragedy is that the longer this pattern persists, the more violent the eventual reckoning becomes. You cannot paper over $180 trillion in obligations with wishful thinking and liquidity injections forever. And the reason is clear. At some point, and I think we're at the threshold right now, the bond market will impose discipline with or without the Fed's cooperation and intervention from the White House. Our job is to stay ahead of that inflection point. We are monitoring this closely and are prepared to sell and adjust the portfolio appropriately if continued reserve draining begins to affect the financial conditions in my IDEC model, inflation, deflation, and economic cycle model. So I'm going to close with a quick word on the war in Iran. As of this podcast recording, there is no signed agreement to open the flow of oil from the Strait and permanently end hostilities. There continues to be a fragile ceasefire agreement. That is all. Now, Iran state media says that there is a memorandum of understanding between the nations to open the waterway in about a month if the U.S. withdraws its forces right away. But the U.S. says the MOU, Memorandum of Understanding, is, quote, a complete fabrication, unquote. There is no memorandum of understanding, according to the United States. Meanwhile, energy inventories continue to plunge. The IRGC remains in charge, and their enriched uranium is intact. Viscerally, this all feels terrible, and yet markets are remarkably quiescent. Most importantly, the arcane components of my model predict for now that the war is going to end soon and the flow of energy will revert to where it was ex ante February 28th. Therefore, we remain allocated to reflation, just as we wait patiently for the reduced liquidity to take effect and for when the business cycle begins to wane. Don't want to get weeks, months, years ahead of this. We'll change when the market is ready to change. The most important thing you can do as an investor is to protect and profit from the great reconciliation of asset prices ahead. We are totally committed to that goal.
Thank you so much for listening to this edition of The Reality Check, 5 minutes of sanity in an insane world. Please remember, if you're not already an investor with PPS, you can email me directly using mpento@pentoport.com or call the office using 732-772-9500 to get information about our portfolio services. You should also go to Amazon and order my book, The Coming Bond Market Collapse. Subscribers should contact an investment advisor before acting on any information contained in this podcast. No information on this podcast constitutes an offer to sell or buy any financial instruments or to provide any investment services. Subscribers understand there's an inherent risk in investing. PPS is a registered investment advisor.